Today is going to be really an introduction to the series, but I believe so much more, as what we're going to do is begin to address how to remove things that limit God from working in our lives. And there are things that can actually limit God. Yes. Many times people do not realize that. They say, you know, God can do anything. No, He can't. It's impossible for Him to lie. It's impossible for Him to steal, to cheat. It's impossible for Him to make us get saved. Come on, we're free more agents. There's a lot of things God can't do. He can't make you love your neighbor. Amen. There's things He commands us to do, but He still doesn't make us do. Amen. And by doing so, not His will, obviously, we can limit what God wants to do in and through our lives. So this series, in part, or at least a great part of this, is helping us to understand these things and actually how to remove the things that limit God from working in our lives. Because I believe you, like me, want in 2026 not only to receive greater things, but be used greater ways for God. Don't you? Don't we, church? Amen. Praise God. And so what we want to do is remove the things that can actually be limiting God from doing what He wants to do to us and through us. So turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to want to begin today by looking at verse 1 and 2. And we're going to be reading this from the New Living Translation. Follow along with me if you would. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Everybody say, to the life of faith. Let us strip off every weight and the sin that slows us down, especially the sin so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. I love how God not only tells us what to do, but tells us how to get it done. Amen. And so all of this is going to be focused around keeping our eyes on Jesus. What does that mean? And we're going to look at these things today. As we go back to verse 1, notice here where it says to this life, we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, for all you Bible buffs out there, which you should be, and I encourage you to be, we know 11 comes before 12. Amen. And you don't have to be a Bible buff to know that. You just know numbers. Amen. 11 comes before 12. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean chapter 11 comes before chapter 12. We read chapter 12 here, but it's referring this surrounded by huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. This huge cloud of witnesses is what we call the Hall of Fame of Faith. And we see people who by word from God did great and mighty things, and they did it by a life of faith. Amen. Everybody say, a life of faith. Praise God. And so what I want us to do here is we look here back at verse 1. It says, notice that we can learn from their lives. And we get here in verse 12 and verse in chapter 12, verse 1. It tells us that let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up. The King James Version there, just listen to me for a moment. It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that easily besets us. That, in other words, one translation says that easily besets us. It means to hold us back. Amen. And so really what we need to understand is taking the limits off is about removing the things that hold us back from being all that God called us to be and to do, and that would keep us from receiving all that has been provided through Christ, a redemptionary work. Amen. And so this is why this is so important. Notice again in verse 1, to the life of faith. In other words, it is letting us know, as it is exhorting us, we too should understand this. These people had real battles just like we do. But they overcame through a life of faith. That implies that we too must have a life of faith. Faith isn't part-time, church. Faith is a lifestyle. It's a way we live. We don't have faith just when we have a problem. The faith is a lifestyle. It's not part-time. It's not sometime. It's not just when bad things happen. Amen. Come on. It's a life of faith that we're to live. And that means that we're insured if we do it that way, then we can live. It exhorts us here about that. And it lets us know that they as well had things to remove that would limit them as well, but they overcame it through a life of faith. Amen. They had, just like we will, weights, as the scripture says, hindrances, obstacles, distractions to their life of faith that work to slow them down from doing what God called them to do. And it means that we will too. And this is what the scripture is letting us know. Also, the sin that's designed to easily trap or trip them up is the same temptations and sins that are designed to trap and trip us up. We need to understand this. In other words, it's letting us know that just like they had issues and problems they had to deal with through the life of faith, we will the same way. Amen. They had things that tried to hinder them and limit God in their life, but they overcame it. And they are testimonies to us that how they did it, we can do it as well. So the good news is God hasn't forgotten us. God is showing us how to win in life's battles. Can I get an amen? And let me tell you something. Just because, see, a lot of times people get all confused. They say, well, if I have enough faith, I won't have any battles. No, the faith is for the battle. Come on, there's no such thing is that you'll have so much faith you won't ever have a battle. You're in a fallen world. It's when the storm comes, not if the storm comes. Amen. And this is why we need faith. Amen. Faith to win in and over the battle. Praise God. Notice also the temptations to sin as well as these. It says the weights and the sin. So the temptations to sin and the things of the flesh are all things that they dealt with and we'll have to deal with too. Hallelujah. And those things we'll have to deal with because they work to limit God in our lives. They work to produce death in us and or separate us from God's presence in our life by limiting us in our walk with God. Now notice the next thing it tells us to do, now that we've addressed this, I'm going through this verse just kind of line by line. I'm doing it kind of quick. There's many other things that we could talk about, but the gist is they, like us, or we like them, are going to have to deal with things that come to us in life. The life of faith is what causes us to overcome. And God has a plan. It's called, notice, it says next, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Last verse there, or last part of this verse, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So track with me one moment. Amen. So notice here it says run with endurance. In other words, the life of faith is for the long haul. It's for the long haul. It's for the long haul, church. It's not God, there's no such thing as flash in the pan faith that just going to work. It's for the long haul. Amen. Praise God. And so notice it says that we're to run with endurance. And in other words, the word endurance there means the ability to remain constant and steadfast through the tests and the trials that come against us. It means the ability to remain steadfast in and upon the Word of God. And notice it, run with endurance. That means that not only do we need this patience, the ability to remain constant or steadfast, but it means, or it implies here, there's going to be a life of discipline. And this is where it gets tough, because many times we are not maybe as disciplined as we should be, spiritually speaking, but we need to be. I said, we need to be. Amen. Praise God. We don't just need to be, and I exhort us to be in this coming year, but are physically fit. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and your body is the vessel by which the Spirit of God uses, and it is the attack place where if the devil can break it down, then it will keep you from being a greater witness. This is why we need to understand we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The Holy Spirit was designed to quicken the spirit that lives in our mortal body, was designed to quicken our mortal body so that we have life and strength to go and energy and power to that we take into a world. But if our body is broken down, then it hinders us from doing that. And so we must understand the importance of all of this. And this is why we must be disciplined, and we must be disciplined physically. But if you know, the truth is, there's anybody that's physically fit has been disciplined in order to get there. Can I get an amen? Well, it's true. Amen. But the same is applied spiritually speaking. And Paul told Timothy, hallelujah, he says, well, bodily exercise that profit a little while, but godliness is profitable for in this life and in the life to come. And so as much as discipline, physical discipline is necessary, that much more spiritual discipline will be as well. And why this is true is because we have a race that is set before us. Race, and notice it didn't say a 50-yard dash. It says a race, and we're supposed to be in it for a long haul. Amen. The race implies that God has a plan. In other words, the race is God's will, His plan, and His assignment for our lives. In other words, what He wants to do in and through our lives. That's the plan. So we're in a spiritual race. It's expressed naturally through our bodies. This is why our bodies are so important, because we're physical human beings that host the Holy Spirit. And it is just like Jesus said, you that have seen me have seen the Father. What we need to realize that the world is going to see Jesus is through His body, you and I. And this is why we need to carry ourselves differently. Not just any way that we want to, but actually how He would want us to, and how our words, that expression, represent Jesus Christ. Because we are in a race, church, a race. In other words, God's will, plan, and assignment that He wants to do in us and do through our lives. Now, verse number 2, as we look at this again, let's read it again. Verse number 2, it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Notice how we're going to run our race. It tells us by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Now, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God, but let's put it down to where we can understand it really clearly as well. He is the Word of God. And so, the written Word reveals the living Word to us. The written Word reveals the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us. We know what God is like through the written Word. It reveals the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us. It reveals who the Father is, who the Son is, who the Holy Spirit is. And we must understand this. This, it tells us how we're to accomplish, amen, this race and finish our course in these things is by keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. You better be glad. You know, we have a great example of this. I'm going to give you an example of how that just like we have to look unto Jesus and look unto the Word of God, that the Old Testament saints had to do the same thing. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, speaking of Moses, it says that he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. In other words, he couldn't see God naturally, but he could see God in the Spirit. And God did manifest Himself in that burning bush and in through different ways. Amen? And so that he could, but because of that, he endured, or he continued steadfastly. God's Word to us reveals Himself to us, and we must understand that. His Word can make Him real to us, and that's how we win. So we too, We'll have to keep our eyes on Jesus, just like seeing Him who is invisible. How do we do that? By seeing and looking into the Word of God. Amen. So we will have to keep our eyes on Jesus, in other words, the Word of God, and allowing the written Word to reveal the living Word to you and I. Amen. God's Word is God talking to us. Is God speaking to us, but His Word is also His revelation of His will to us, and faith begins always where the will of God is known. And so once we see what God is saying, then that produces faith. And Jesus is actually, you don't get a shortchange kind of faith. He actually becomes, as the Scripture says, the champion who initiates and perfects that faith. Come on. Somebody ought to be excited about that. And in other words, He is the champion who initiates, verse 2, He is the champion of Hebrews 12, said He is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The Amplified translation of this verse reads like this, looking away from all that distracts. How many know that would be at weights and sins? There's a lot of things that will try to distract us in life, church. There's a lot of weights that aren't sins, and then there's sins that as well trip us up. Amen. They're two different things. However, they work against us. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief and also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. Amen. So from the start to the finish of your life and faith, Jesus is going to produce that and see you through. In other words, He's the one that causes our faith to be started on and to finish on when we do it right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You should wake up and say, yeah, I have the faith of God. I'm a child of God. And Jesus is the source and the finisher of my faith. He's bringing my faith to maturity and perfection. How many have said that lately? Well, we should be saying it. So it's only by keeping our eyes on Jesus or God's Word, His Word as, in other words, it's only by keeping our eyes on Jesus that gives us faith and endurance to run the race that's set before us. It's keeping our eyes on Jesus or His Word, what does that mean? That God's Word becomes the final authority in our lives because that's where real faith begins. Let me tell you something. Until God's Word becomes your final authority, there is no faith there. There's not God and plan B or His Word and plan B. If it's plan B or plan C on that, it is not faith. Faith is not stepping out over the gaping void of nothingness. It's rather stepping out upon the sure foundation of God's Word. And we must understand it's not God and, it's God only. In other words, His Word, glory to God, His Word is what... His Word must produce or be the final authority, or we're not in faith. Now, I know people don't like to hear that because we really find out when we are really in faith or not. Because if your faith, you should not question your salvation. I realize there's people that can because they haven't heard the Word of God enough, or they've taken siestas from the Word of God and all those kind of things. And I'm not saying that to be critical, but salvation should be a no-so. Because from that place, you walk in confidence before God. I didn't say you may be perfect, but you're walking in confidence before God. No one can take you away your salvation. Yet so many believers are really believers. They have been saved, but they're not confident in their salvation because they somehow have equated what they do still to their salvation. What you do is, listen, what you do doesn't have to do anything with your salvation as what He did in your faith in what He did. It's not your works that get you saved. It's His work that gets you saved and your faith in it. Now, once you're saved, then we find there should be fruit there with which we do good works. But the works aren't what get us saved. Amen. The salvation or the root of our salvation is Jesus Christ. And we should understand that. Yet so many times people, they may on the other side be totally convinced that Jesus is, when it says He's their Savior, He's made them, that's their final authority. But that may not be that what God's Word says concerning healing, concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit, concerning finances, concerning worry, concerning all these other topics. Until God's Word becomes your final authority in those areas, you're not in faith yet. And there was a holy hush over the congregation. No, it's true. And the sooner we realize it, the quicker we're going to get the things out that limit God in our life. These are the things that limit God in our life. Not because God doesn't work and doesn't want to work, but we limit Him. We limit Him. You say, there's no way that you can limit. Once again, I want to remind us, and this is for another message, but Psalm 78, verse 41, it says, the children of Israel tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And if they could tempt and limit the Holy One of Israel, so can we. And they did, but we don't have to. And when we understand and we take God as His word as a final authority, then we're in real faith. And it's only by keeping our eyes on Jesus, God's word, that the weights and the sins no longer trip us up or trap us or keep us from running that race. God's word is what enables us to run and finish well. We can't substitute anything else for that. Oh, we can, but it won't work. Come on. We can try to substitute everything. Oh, we pray longer. It's not a matter of prayer. Matter of fact, prayer is right. Prayer will help you. But we can substitute all these things that we think, doing some other things, doing some good works. We can insert all these things. But God's word alone enables us to run and finish well. So look behind me at the service screen where it says take the limits off. And I'm going to turn for a moment. Notice it says, yes, take the limits off. And notice where this got you and I running. Amen. But here's what I want us to draw our attention to for a moment is some of the things that are designed to be the weights and the sins, the things that actually trip us up and trap us in life. Like, notice the words there that are in the background. Doubt, failure, anger, rejection, poverty, stuck, and so on and so forth. These are different things that will actually, if we are stuck in, it's not, listen, that we limit God in our lives by them. And I want us to understand this today because this is so important when I'm getting ready to share with you, because all these things are some of the weights, just a few of the weights and sins that easily beset us. And while they are each legitimate things that we could each look at and address, because they can and will limit us if they remain in our lives. However, what I want to do is begin by addressing what I call, and we could pull up slide one, root issues, not just fruit issues. This is what I want to address. So instead of, now I'm going to use one example here to help us today, because we could spend every week looking at different issues that cause us to limit God. And we are going to look at some. Today we're going to look at one. But what I really want to do in beginning this series is understand, I want to go a little deeper with us. I want us to deal with what I call root issues and not just fruit issues. Because if the root is not dealt with, the fruit continues or will return. Come on. The root is the cause, and the fruit is the response, the action, or the result of the root in our lives. We could say like this, the what is the fruit and the why is the root. So let's talk about, for a moment, anger. Just let's just use this one thing to illustrate the bigger picture today of the root, not just the root issues, not just the fruit issues. But even though we're going to look at anger, the anger I'm going to talk about is a negative anger. Because there is such thing as a positive anger, a righteous anger. But we're not talking about a righteous indignation or righteous anger here. We're talking about a negative anger that is called a work or fruit of the flesh, as described in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. For you that are familiar with your Bible, that I'm going to just this real quick, and verses in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it lists two groups. It lists first a fruit of the flesh, or the works of the flesh, and the fruits of the Spirit, or the work of the Spirit in our life. Amen. The work of the flesh, that means this unredeemed body. The evils that can be produced because of an unredeemed body versus the fruit of the reborn, recreated human spirit. That once we make Jesus the Lord of our life, there's certain things that because we're born again, that live within us. Fruit that live within us that are going to have to grow and be produced in our lives by, number one, us understanding it and then working in cooperation with this. But my point is here, this anger is called a work or fruit of the flesh in Galatians 5:20. In the King James Version, it's called wrath. In other translations, it just calls anger. But here's the bigger problem. We all know what anger looks like, but what is the root that's causing it? I get mad every time I get around that person, bless God. Well, there's a reason. I mean, it's just not what you're doing, but let's talk about the root that's causing that. Can I get amen? And so, what root is causing it? In other words, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. The Bible identifies or calls roots, causes, or reasons for the fruit or the action in our life. I'm going to say that again. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible identifies or calls roots, causes, or reasons for the fruit or the actions in our life that are negative. So let's say if anger. Now I know, here everybody, look at your neighbor and say, just relax for a moment. So I know nobody in this room is dealing with anger anymore. Okay, so just relax. I'm talking to everybody online, and everybody will hear this message. Hey, I'm just playing with everybody online, and leave me a comment, not a nasty one, but a one that says, amen, glad, preach it, Pastor, amen. I'm glad to hear the comments online, and praise God, because I follow them every week or get them, and we really appreciate those inputs, and we care about you, and we call you supernaturally blessed. So listen to what I'm getting ready to say. So if anger is a problem or a way to, or a sin, the question is, the root, what is the root or the cause of it? Is it possibly an undisciplined mind and emotions out of control? Is it that you lack self-control in mind, mouth, and even body? Chances are, that's exactly what the Bible expresses anger that hasn't been brought under the subjection of the Word of God is by. I'll say that again. Is the anger that we experience it possibly can be, is it the root of the cause? Is the root of the cause? I know the fruit is anger, but is the root of the cause an undisciplined mind and emotions that are out of control, left unchecked? You lack self-control in mind and mouth. Everybody say, oh my. In mind and mouth and even body. Or let's look at what anger could possibly be, the root, this fruit of anger. Let's look at another possible root cause. And that is, or is the root or cause something someone did to you that left undealt or unchecked fuels ongoing and increasing anger. Because I submit to you, this is why some people 20 years later are still dealing with real problems and God is limited in their life because they're unable to forgive people by things that have happened to them. Yes, you were wrong, but it's even wronger to hold the offense because the offense is killing you, not the person you're offended with. And the fruit is that offense, but the real reason or the real root is what somebody did to you. And that's not a justification by no means, because the Bible commands us to forgive. Well, Pastor, I'm trying to forgive, but I'll never forget what that old rascal did to me. Well, you're going to have to. In other words, that doesn't mean that that thought may never cross your mind, but when it does, you say, nope, that's dead. I've forgiven that person. I let them go. Hallelujah. They're free and I'm free. Blessed be God. That doesn't mean you agree with what they did. That doesn't mean you hang out with them. It just means you have forgiven them and you refuse to allow the devil to trap you and cause a root of bitterness to spring up and defile you any longer. God is helping us to take the limits off, and it's going to be by the acts of His Word laid at the root of the real issues that's producing the fruit in your and my life. Can I get an amen in here today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. When these types of things happen, they not only wreck our behavior, these roots not only wreck our behavior, but they keep us stuck and limited in our spiritual life, therefore limit God. So the underlying root, I hope everybody's tracking with me, is what's causing the fruit. But listen to me. The real and greater problem is not knowing. The real and greater problem that you and I have is not knowing what Jesus already did to address and change that in our lives. That is the greater problem. The greater problem isn't that someone did you wrong. The greater problem is you not knowing what Jesus did to get that root out. To overcome the fruit, you gotta overcome the root. And Jesus didn't just skim on the fruit. He dealt with the root, bless God. Hallelujah. Because there is nothing, listen, that has been done to you that Jesus didn't take, pay for, and overcome it for you. I'm preaching better than you saying amen in this morning. These types of fruits that we talked about and you even saw on the screen are weights and sins that will remain in our lives until we understand what Jesus did to address and change them in our lives, and He did so at the root level. He ain't just skimming the fruit. He's dealing with the root. You may deal, here's where our problem is, we deal with the fruit all the time and leave the root. And until you go back and find out what Jesus did to the root and operate from that place, you realize you can take care of the fruit. You can cut the fruit off, but the root is causing it to come back. But when you understand what Jesus did, He took it at the root, then you say, my root is changed, bless God, and there'll be no more fruit. God dealt with the roots, the causes, so that the fruit could change in all of our lives. And both the fruit and the root issues can only be successfully dealt with by knowing what Jesus did to eliminate them from your and my life. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not trapped no more. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And some of you are going to have to get over this problem about petting that fruit and feeling good and justified that you're mad at that person. You can't win that way. You won't win that way. That good feeling for a moment. Look at that. I ain't going to speak to them. I'm going the other way. All that is killing you. You think it's hurting them. It's killing you. Hallelujah. We must know how to deal with the root in our lives, and by doing so, change the fruit in our lives. So what I want to do in closing today is go a little deeper. But I'm going to make it as simple as I can. This ain't hard. This ain't deep. This ain't rocket science. This isn't algebra, trigonometry, calculus. Amen. If it was, We could be tripped up. Some of us would be tripped up on basic math, but you ain't dumb. Come on. And I can want you to know, there's some brilliant people that may not know how to add, may know how to read. Smith Wigglesworth said it like this. He says, some read it in Hebrew, some read it in Greek. I read it in the Holy Ghost. So in other words, you in the Holy Ghost, I'm not against education, but you can educate God out of your mind. So I'm all for education. I'm not against algebra and all those kind of things. What I'm saying is we're going to go a little bit deeper spiritually, but I'm going to keep it as simple as I can. And it's really not deep or hard to understand, and so I'm going to make it that way. In other words, I'm going to make it as simple as I can. Here it is. Man's greater problem, the real issue, is man's root. Here's that problem, all of us. I say man, I'm saying you, me, and everyone, us-ins and we-ins, all of us. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. And then look at you and say, he's talking to me too. Praise God. Man's greater problem, the real issue, is man's root is either in Adam or in Christ. That's that real problem. Or an answer. I'm going to say it again. The greater problem is the real issue is man's root is either in Adam or in Christ. What do you mean by that? In other words, we get our roots either from Adam or Christ. In Adam, we got a problem. In Christ, we got an answer. Houston, we have a problem. If we have identified it, because some of us will fight color, culture, gender, and hold on to that. All of that is in Adam. Listen, you should be thankful and proud of who you are, but I can tell you, I've lost all that to the supreme superiority of being thankful of who I am in Christ. Because let me just tell you something. We're walking natural. All humanity is either in one or two people. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. You get to choose. That's all humanity is in. And here's the real problem that people have. Their root. Oh, my root. I've got this problem. Your problem is you're either, the real root issue is you're in Adam or you're in Christ. And you have a problem if you're in Adam still, and you have an answer if you're in Christ. So let's look at where the Scripture talks about. This is the 1 Corinthians. I must speed up a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 tells us this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 tells us this. Praise God. Tells us this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, in Adam, let me just quote it. In Adam all die, in Christ all made alive. I can quote it. I just was just letting it come up for your sake. Amen. Praise God. In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. Here's the two roots that produce all the fruit in mankind. Come on. Here's the fruits. Here's the two roots that produce all the fruits. So let me explain it. Can I explain it a little further to you? Okay, so in other words, our B.C., what do you mean B.C., before Christ? Our B.C. days, before we were born again, our spiritual union and root is in Adam. All humanity is. That's why we must be born again. Jesus said it, a man must be born again. Why? Because our spiritual root, amen, our spiritual root or union with Adam or in Adam produces the fruit of death. In other words, man's fallen nature is the root. He can't help himself. Your nature is fallen. You have a sin nature. That's why you sin. Dogs bark because they're dogs. Cats meow because they're cats. Sinners sin because they're sinners. Before we get to Christ, we have the wrong nature. And because we have the wrong root, it's an Adam, not only do we die, but we produce the wrong fruit. We can't help ourselves. And any kind of fruit we try to produce is still our own good works that can't save us. They stink to high heaven if we try to replace it with being right with God. So we have to understand this. But Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. At root of union in Adam produces the fruit of death. Man's fallen nature. His fallen nature is the root that produces all the wrong fruit. But God's answer. You know what God's answer is? The new birth. And a union with Jesus Christ. The moment we make Jesus Christ the Lord of life, we get taken out of Adam and get put in Christ. Come on, can I get an amen? Come on, somebody ought to get excited about this, because in Adam all die, in Christ all made alive. And people are all running around. This, that, my group, my. Listen, you either in Adam or you in Christ. In Adam all die, in Christ all made alive. It have nothing to do with gender, color, culture, or nationality. It has everything to do with who you in. This is why in heaven, there's going to be, we call it a slice of heaven. It should be in here. That people from every tribe, tongue, and nation is there. Because they're in Christ. In Adam all die, in Christ all made alive. And we fight one another over the smallest things. It's because you're all tied up in the wrong root. Yeah. Or you forget the root you're attached to. If you're attached to Christ. So God's answer to this problem is, or this root issue, is the new birth. And that new birth is a spiritual union with Christ, producing a new spiritual life. And you get a new root, Christ, that produces new fruit. Is everybody listening to me? All right, praise God. You should love it. Praise the Lord. Now, here's where it gets a little tricky, and it's not really tricky. Let me explain it to you. Some people are saying, yep, okay, I get that. And Adam all die. That's the root. We're either in Adam or in Christ, and Christ all are made alive. And you said, I get a new life and new fruit. But wait a minute. I'm in here today, and I'm living to God. I got all these, I've been tripped up by sin. I've been tripped up by weights. I've been trapped by sin. I got all these problems, but I know I'm born again. So what's the problem, Pastor Chris? Is what you're saying not true? No. The new. You could have the new birth and be have a new identity in Christ and have your root in Christ, but it's still possible for you to have wrong fruit. And you know why? Because without a renewed mind and without a yielded body to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to the Word of God, you're still going to produce all the wrong fruit. It's not because your root hasn't changed, but because your mind and your body hasn't learned to submit themselves now unto the Word of God. And until your mind and body submits to the Word of God, you can still have wrong fruit. But it's not because you don't have the right root, it's because you haven't learned to allow the root to produce the fruit. And you're reverting back to the old fruit. Because one-third of you is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. That's your spirit. But your mind and your body aren't saved yet. And this is why it says that we're to renew our mind and bring our body under subjection unto the Spirit of God. We find this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and I must go quick, and I wish I had more time to talk about this, and we will in the weeks to come, but it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, this is talking about believers that are in Christ, amen, you got the right root, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And you know why you need to do that? Because without doing that, you're going to have wrong fruit. Not because you don't have the right root. But you can still have the right root and have wrong fruit because you haven't learned to do something with your body. Your body ain't saved yet. One day you'll get a glorified body and you'll have to be worried about sin, overweight, ugly, or anything else. Age or beautiful or whatever. Come on. But until that day, we're going to have to submit. We're going to have to submit our bodies to do it God's way. And we bring our body under control. In other words, that means your body as a believer will still want to do some wrong things. It went to the wrong places before you got saved. It'll still want to go to the wrong places after you got saved. If it drank and snorted and laid with the wrong things before it got saved, it'll want to do the wrong thing until you do something with your body and tell it no by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the power of the root that lives within you. Because let me tell you something, your root, if you're in Christ, your root is stronger than that fruit.
You just need to be taught it and understand it. And here in verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How am I transformed or changed? By the renewing of my mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Without the renewing of your mind, you can't know the will of God. And without knowing the will of God, you can't have faith. And without this, you won't live a transformed life. Now, I wish I had more time to talk about this, but we must learn that whatever was done to us in Adam has been changed and overcome for us in Christ. Woo! This is what we need to renew our mind on. So we stop looking at our problem like we're still in Adam. We ain't in Adam, we're in Christ. So what did Christ do to overcome all that junk? All the stuff that's been done to us is just a ploy of Satan to hold us, to trip us up, to trap us, and to hold us back, to limit God in our life, and we're taking the limits off. Look at your neighbor, slap three of them. No, I'm just playing. Look at your neighbor and say, we're taking the limits off. Praise God. This powerfully means that whatever has been done to hurt you is not bigger, it is not greater than what Jesus has done to help you and bless you. Understanding this root, or our root in Jesus, we're able to lay aside, we're able to strip off the weights and the sins, the fruits. We're able to. In knowing this truth, we're able to take the limits off, to remove the things that limit God in our lives. And you and I must learn Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was God's plan to change us and to make all things new for us and in us. This is why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I wish I had more time to talk about these things. But therefore, if any man be in Christ, see, you're in Adam or in Christ. In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. You're either the root of Adam or your root is in Christ. You're going to have, if you're in the root of Adam, you're going to have the fruit of Adam. If you're going to in the root of Christ, you can have the fruit of Christ. But notice, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. The new creation was God's answer. Let me tell you something, honey. The new creation ain't no small thing. Ain't no little thing in the mind of God. The new creation was God's answer to humanity. It's all about getting us out of the wrong root system into the new root system, and the right one, Jesus Christ. God is all about this, and we should be too, and understanding what we and who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ. And by God changing our root, we can now change our fruit and bring fruit to God. Hallelujah. At the moment we get in Adam, our job is to renew our minds so we can think right, believe right, and act right. In other words, the moment we get in Christ, our number one job is to renew our mind and to control this body. And we do that by knowing that we have a new root, and that's Jesus Christ. He's our root. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. And because we have the right root system, we're going to produce the new fruit system. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. See, God's plan was redemption. And that's why whenever you hear the word, this ain't a trick question. Whenever you hear the word redemption, redeem, this is why you should think victory! Glory to God! Whenever you hear the word redeem or redemption, you should think victory. Because God's plan was redemption for all of mankind. And according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, it says, by His own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption. Come on. A complete redemption. An everlasting release for us. Hallelujah! Your redemption is complete, not half. And you're not waiting to heaven to have it. This ain't even for a special class of believers. This is for whosoever will, that gets under the blood of Jesus and makes Jesus their Lord and Savior life, a complete redemption. But we live like half, we're half filled, it's halfway, because we haven't been taught right. And our mind has been conditioned to believe less than what God says. And until we sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, the anointed Word of God, it won't change. See, I've got to set off spiritual depth charges to shake us and to blow us out. So when you go home today, you say, well,
you know, honey, you know, did you, what the pastor talked about, you know, I know we may not be living that, but that's true. The first step to freedom is to acknowledge that what God's word is true. And I see something now, honey, that I don't have to be like this. I don't have to be angry to you no more. And she says, oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I know that would never happen to anybody here, but I'm telling you, we're not waiting. We don't have a halfway salvation, a halfway redemption. It's complete redemption and everlasting release for us. It's now and won't change. Hebrews 9:15 tells us that His death has taken place, which rescues, delivers, and redeems us from every transgression and sin. Every. So I got a question for you. What's your problem? If it rescues and delivers and redeems us from every transgression of sin, God has dealt with, this means that God has dealt with every fruit successfully by His root, Jesus Christ. And now we're in Him. And the root enables us to win over the wrong fruit while producing the right fruit. Matthew 20, verse 28 tells us that Christ came and gave His life as a ransom for many, the price paid to set them free. So these three verses right here that we just read real quickly tells us that Jesus Christ found it and secured a complete redemption, an everlasting release for us that fuels our freedom. Come on. That's freedom, church. And it tells us that the next verse tells us that He rescues and delivers and redeems us from every sin. So what's our problem? See, the devil's trying to tell you, you know what? You've done too many bad things. You're a dirty dog. You're, you know, D-A-W-G. Praise the Lord. D-O-G, however you want to spell it. But you're it. No, you're not. You're a child of God. You're forgiven if you've gotten it under the blood. Come on. His death rescues, delivers, and redeems us from every sin. Every sin, not some, not half of them, but everyone. They're the ones that the devil is trying to tell you that God won't forgive you for. If you repent it, they're repented of, God no longer has them in His mind. And you shouldn't either. It also tells us that He gave His life as a ransom. In other words, the price paid to set us free. There has been a price paid to set us totally free from the root of Adam and the fruits of Adam. Well, and this is what this series is about, and about helping us to take the limits off. Because when we understand that we're in Christ and not in Adam, and that we can, and then we have this complete redemption. We've been rescued, delivered, and redeemed. The price has been paid to set us free. Today, I want you to see there's nothing that has happened to you that is not bigger than what Jesus has already done for you. Come on. And in knowing what He's already done for you, and in Jesus becoming our new root system, you'll be able to take the limits off and run your race with joy. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, we got something to look forward to this year. Because we're going to be encouraging one another. We're going to be inspiring one another. Amen. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The Holy Ghost is leading us and guiding us into the truth and the help. Come on, Brother Ryan, and help me. And the truth of God's Word will overpower every lie. And we will take the limits off of God that has been built up in our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what about you today? See, I didn't want this just to be, I don't want this to be information. I want this to be revelation. Because true revelation fuels all dedication. Now I want to talk to us all on board because the enemy will try to trap us. So there's so many people in here that are walking in the victory. Whoo, glory to God. And you're walking the victory, not just for you. You're walking the victory. You're going somewhere to happen, make somebody else's victory happen. And I applaud with that. This is why part of why we come. So that I'm passing out the ammo. So you're not going out in that world with an empty gun.
In other words, you're equipped. You're well able. Praise God. All I'm doing is handing out the ammo. Hallelujah. And your gun just don't go poof. Your gun shoots. In other words, it destroys what the enemy has done in people's lives so people can see the truth, know the truth, and be set free. But I also realize and smart enough to know that there's all kind of people in here today. Everybody's not where in the saints' place. And here, even though that this whole message was designed to take the limits off of the believer's life, it's not just for every believer in here, it's for everybody. And there's people that could believe in here today. The enemy has worked on them, and they're here today, but in their minds and in their lives, they feel like they don't belong. This is too good to be true. This couldn't be for you. These things couldn't be for you. Even if you are in Adam, the devil is trying. Even if you are gotten out of Adam and got into Christ, you feel like, well, this couldn't be me because I've done too many things wrong. Matter of fact, Pastor Chris, I've come to this altar and rededicated my life before only to go back to be defeated again. But I'm here today to announce to you all dedication is fueled by revelation. And it's the revelation that fuels the dedication. So, yes, in other words, it's understanding what I talked about that empowers a person to walk from this altar that rededicates or gives their heart to Christ, either knowing they're in Christ or they're there and have power to walk from this place out in life, knowing that they can produce the right fruit. That whatever has tried to trap them and trip them up, they are not identifying with it, they're identifying with Christ. And through the renewing of their minds and being able to subdue their bodies unto the Word of God and their minds under the direction of the Word of God, they are able to live a new transformed life. It's possible. It's so possible, the Bible says it's for every believer, and it can be including you. So don't let the devil talk you out of God's highest and His best. Then there's other people in here today that would feel like, well, I'm not just good enough. And you really feel like you're not good enough because you the devil is sitting on your shoulder and say, look at all I've done. Look at all you've done, you dirty dog, you. Look at all the stuff you've done. And even to put shame and guilt. Let me tell you something. God may convict us of something, but He's not going to put guilt and shame there. He'll convict us to convince us to give our hearts right to Jesus, to turn from it and come under the blessing of God. So if you feel trapped, then it's always the devil. It's not God. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's the devil who makes you think you've done things that cannot be forgiven. But then you got people on the other side. They're stuck in this. Look at all the good things I've done. They've been fooled just like I was. How I grew up in church, had my own version of God. And thought because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. Thought because I shook the preacher's hand as water baptized as a child. Thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me that I was right with God. But at the age of 24, in 1986, March the 30th, I heard a message that let me know that I had come to God my way. I had my own version of God. I thought my own good works and the things that I had done qualified me to heaven. But I realized it was only what Christ had done that makes me right with God and my faith in it. So I had to settle like you will have to settle. That the gospel, the good news, is what God did to make man right with Himself, not the other way around. All my good works can't make me right with God. All me coming to church, all me not getting caught doing the bad things. All those things can't. See, a lot of people get offended by that. A lot of church people get offended with that so much. You mean to tell me, Pastor Chris, I've been going to church for 50 years of my life and I not be right with God? What does it count for? I've given. I've prayed. I come to church at least on Easter and Christmas. Come on, I'm going to try to add a little fun to that. But this is a serious matter because so many people think, oh, it's all boasted on them. I can tell you what it amounts to, what Paul said, it amounts to nothing.
Because it's all your works and your way to God. And you can't come to God your way. You have to come to God His way. And His way is Jesus Christ. In other words, throw yourself over the mercy of God. Yes, you come as you are, but you throw yourself on the mercy of God. And you come God's way. His God's way. God's way is Jesus. God's way is what Jesus did. And you put your faith in what Jesus did to make you right with God. It's not our works that save us, but His works and our faith in it and Jesus Christ that can. So no matter where you're at in here today, I praise God for every person that understands this. It's not just a fruit issue. It's a real root issue. And you've solved it because now you're going to be able to walk in greater fruit. Take the limits off because you know you got a different root. You know, the key is the renewing of your mind and doing something with your body, which you have to. God did the hard part. One third of you is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. That's your spirit. The part of your mind and your body you have to do something with. But you can, because greater is He that's in you. The root, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, was to produce the right fruit. And you can. I thank God for all those that are strengthened and taking the limits off. But I want to help those right now that may not have ever come to Christ. You realize, you're telling me that all humanity is either in Adam or in Christ. That's right. Either you're saved or lost. You're lost and headed to hell, or you're saved and headed to heaven. I don't like that. I didn't come up with the rules. God did. And let me tell you something, honey. One second after we die, we found out that just what I talked about was true. But it's too late. And the same Holy Spirit that convicted me in 1986 is the same one that's trying to deal with you to lead you into truth, to get out of Adam, where the real problem is, and get into Christ, where the real freedom and answer is. Or if you're in Christ, but you're not walking that way, you've gotten away from God, and in the heart of hearts, you know you need to come back to Him. You can today. It's a new day for you. It's a day of newness for you. Draw a line in this spiritual line in the sand and say, I'm over here in Adam. I'm not in Adam anymore. I'm in Christ. I understand something I couldn't understand before. And that dedication is fueled by revelation of what I'm talking about today. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Christians praying. You're here today.